Okay. So, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And in honor of Valentine's Day, with the theme of love, I'd like to talk today about the Buddhist conception of love, and that is metta, loving kindness. And so many of you practice metta regularly. Some of you are just new to the practice of metta through FIMC. On the Monday nights, we usually end the silent sit with a metta practice. And my hope for you tonight is that, if you have a practice, maybe some dimension, some aspect of what I talk about will be of interest to you and kind of ignite your metta practice. Some of you may feel kind of like stalled in a metta practice or interested, but not really knowing how to connect in with it. Some of you might be really into metta. There's all kinds of experiences. We'll actually be looking at some of those later, what your experiences with metta have been. But I thought tonight would be a really great time to kind of reflect on this practice that is very central and special to the Theravada tradition. So I just want to say a little aside about Valentine's Day itself, which some of you may know has a very contorted history. And I won't go into the history of Valentine's or who Saint Valentine was here, but if you're interested, I really recommend looking into it. It's kind of remarkable how we get these holidays and what they turn into. But nevertheless, Valentine's Day has become associated with love, largely romantic love, but through commercialization, love of all types and for all ages. It's been pretty fun for me today to watch my kids just having so much fun with Valentine's Day. My son, who's 13, just couldn't wait to give kids, and we made an extra special trip out last night so he could buy this candy and also give it to his sister, who was delighted this morning to receive this special gift from her brother. So there's some sweetness, right? Literally in the tradition. So in Buddhism, metta or loving kindness refers to a benevolent attitude that one generates toward others. And commentators on the Buddha's teaching define metta as the strong wish for the welfare and happiness of others. So it's really in contrast to self-interest. Metta is this altruistic attitude of kindness and friendliness to oneself, others, and ultimately all beings everywhere. Acharya Buddharakhita, who wrote prolifically about Buddhism and was a translator of Buddhist texts, wrote that metta evokes within a warm-hearted feeling of fellowship, sympathy, and love, which grows boundless with practice and overcomes all social, religious, racial, political, and economic barriers. He said, metta is indeed a universal, unselfish, and all-embracing love. He continued to say, apart from its higher implications, today, metta is a pragmatic necessity. In a world menaced by all kinds of destructiveness, metta, in deed, word, and thought, is the only constructive means to bring concord, peace, and mutual understanding. Indeed, metta is the supreme means for it forms the fundamental tenet of all the higher religions, as well as the basis for all benevolent activities intended to promote human well-being. Gosh, when I read that quote, it just makes me think, what if we had like a meta day in the world? You know, being able to promote human well-being, a day where we promote human well-being. I know on February 17th, so in a few days, is National Random Acts of Kindness Day. So there's something. I like sharing about the history of metta as it's described in the early Pali texts. These are the texts of the Buddha's teaching. It's said that 500 monks gathered in the Himalayas to spend 4 months near the Buddha during the rainy season. After reading instructions from the Buddha, they sought a place to reside and practice, and they found a beautiful area in the foothills of the Himalayas, described in the early texts as appearing like a glittering blue quartz crystal. It was embellished with a cool, dense green forest grove and a stretch of ground strewn with sand, resembling a pearl net or a silver sheet, and was furnished with a clean spring of cool water. So they had entered a pretty fabulous place. And the residents of this area welcomed all 500 monks, and they fed them, and they built huts for each of them to practice in. And each monk chose the base of a tree to sit and meditate. So as the story goes, these tree deities were at first very accepting of the presence of all these monks, thinking that they might stay only a couple of nights, so why not be welcoming? But the monks were staying for the whole rainy season. And when they saw that they weren't going anywhere, the deities felt displaced and sought ways to drive them off. They harassed them with oppressing visions, noises, and a horrible stench. So the monks went to the Buddha, and they were frightened. They were scared of these deities, and they begged him to help them find another place. But the Buddha sent them back to the same place with a practice. And the practice was called Karaniya Metta Sutta, the teachings on universal love. And he said that this practice would protect them from harm. I always find that so interesting, that something about generating universal love would protect one from harm. And I've spent some time really reflecting on that, and it's powerful to reflect on what would it be about this that would protect one from harm. So it's said that the monks practiced metta so diligently that soon the deities were filled with warmth and friendliness. They welcomed the monks to meditate at the base of the trees, free from harm or fear. So I think it's also worth emphasizing that metta is a practice. So it's not a quality. You know, sometimes we think of people as loving or very kind. You know, metta is translated as loving kindness, as if one could exhibit this quality of kindness. But metta is a practice that And the kindness and the love is something that one cultivates. And so those of you who've practiced this, you know, already know, but some of you may be new to the practice. So I just want to just briefly describe the practice, although we're going to do a meta-guided meditation later in the sit. So I find it always so powerful that metta always begins with ourselves. It always begins right here, centered in our heart space. And it's this idea that, or this practice, that we can start by offering kindness to ourselves and feeling that kindness, and then extending this friendliness and these wishes of well-being in ever-expanding circles towards others, until eventually we're embracing all beings. So starting with ourselves, expanding into people who we know, people who we love, people who we care about, people who we don't know, beings who we don't know, and ever larger circles toward others. And it's this wish for well-being, you know, and freedom from mental and physical harm, really freedom from suffering. I know sometimes people wonder, like, does it work? You know, like, if we're going to do this, what's the result? And I find that to be a really interesting question. It's not like a spell, right, that we're casting, although maybe it has some qualities of a spell. I don't know. But what I find with metta practice is that it transforms the practitioner. And that has a powerful impact on all those we touch, seen and unseen. So as we change, you know, we have this, we're all interconnected, and we have this unknown but powerful impact on those around us. So I'll be offering an extended guided meditation practice later. So I have a question for you, and please feel free to both sit with this as well as share some thoughts in the chat, or raise your virtual hand or physical hand, and I will call on you to share some thoughts. So my question is, how is the Buddhist conception of love different from the contemporary American conception of love? I can share a little bit. When I first was in connecting with my husband now of 14 years, we were friends, but I had, you know, very strong feelings of love toward him. But I didn't know how he felt. We were just friends. And he went off, he quit his job. He went to Ecuador to teach. And I didn't know if he was going to return to Flagstaff. And I had this, like, really powerful, overwhelming sensation almost of, like, I want for his happiness, whatever that might look like. And it was such a pure feeling of love to have that love without attachment or possession. And I feel like it's like almost that, you know, because it started that way, it's been, you know, that's at the foundation of a really powerful relationship in my life. Does anybody else want to share their thoughts about the difference between Buddhist love, and kind of our contemporary ideas about love? So one thing is that the Buddhist love feels like it's based on this wish for well-being for others. And so we just want the best for others, for them to be free from suffering. So it's a very, it's that altruistic kind of love. And then when I think about Buddhists, like this loving kindness and metta, I think about kind of this Buddhist conception or realization of no self. And so in the Western model, we have a self who's either being loved or unloved. In Buddhism, there's really not a conception of an individual self. And so love smears out toward all beings, and that who are all included in oneself. So it's really different based on this, like, just different orientation toward the self. So I'd like to share some personal reflections on metta. The first time that I practiced metta was the first time that I recall being purposefully kind to myself. And I pictured myself as a baby, and I held myself tenderly. And as I was doing this, tears were just flowing. And it was just an extremely powerful experience, that first metta practice. It was probably in 2003 when I first started sitting with Sangha. But after that first time, and for a few years, I felt like I was just going through the motions. You know, in metta, we say these phrases, and I just really couldn't connect with the phrases. It just felt like recitation, and I was not connecting during that metta practice. When Brian Lesage began teaching with the Sangha, he taught to use visualization to enter a heart space. And I'll be sharing some of the visualization that I use and that I try to encourage people to use to enter into this heart space. And he said, focus on whatever brings the most feeling of warmth and tenderness. You know, that feeling when you feel this sense of kindness. Remember an experience and let yourself go back there and feel it. And I could start to feel like the swelling feeling in my heart as I was remembering the moment that each of my children were placed on my chest after they were born. And I use that to begin my metta practice now. I just go back with each child and feel them as they were, you know, first felt by me. And that is just like this incredible avenue into the practice for me. And so now metta has become a daily practice. And loving kindness, this friendliness towards others, it arises more organically. I feel like through the practice, because I've been doing this practice for so many years now, as a result of that kind of spiritual practice, things start to kind of like just bubble up organically. So maybe before a lot of my spiritual practice, I was in the habit of just being nice. Like, I wanted to be a nice person. I wanted people to like me, right? And I wanted to meet certain social expectations. But through spiritual practice, through maturing, through metta practice, it's become sort of an inner welling up, this feeling of wanting others to feel, to be well, to be free of suffering, including myself, learning how to really be kind, a genuine kindness to myself and others. The idea that metta practice keeps us safe from harm has also become particularly potent for me. I find that, I don't know about all of you, but I have a lot of fearful thoughts. These, you know, just sort of like those 500 monks who were visited by these deities, and all sorts of fearful thoughts came rising up in their consciousness. I think it's a metaphor for how we, many of us are. Not everybody kind of lives with a lot of fearful thoughts, but I'll say, I feel like I can conjure up some pretty credible fears and on a regular basis. And that's part of why I also find the metta practice as a daily practice to be incredibly powerful and healing. Because as I practice metta, there's just no room for the fear. I am filling up my mind and heart with these wishes for well-being. And there's no place for fear in that. And so it's like it really replaces the fearful thoughts with loving thoughts. At least that's how it's kind of worked for me. Acharya Buddhaharakita writes about the ripening of metta and likens metta to bringing into being a great tree. The sprouting of the seeds and the growth of the tree represent kind of this loving kindness in one's day-to-day conduct. And just like the tree grows through our continued metta practice, we're transformed into a loving presence. And as we become a loving presence, we become a source of joy for everyone. So I have another question for you. What are some of your experiences or insights that have come from metta practice? And so let's take a moment to just quietly reflect and think about your experiences with metta practice. What kind of insights or experiences have you had? So I'd like to invite us into a silent sit that will be followed by a lengthier metta loving kindness meditation. Let's take 2 minutes to just stretch and reposition yourselves, get comfortable, and we'll begin the silent sit. I'll ring a bell in about 2 minutes. Just to get us started, just noticing your body, your feet upon the floor, your legs. The space around you. In an upright yet comfortable position. There's no need for stress or strain. Bringing attention into your breath, using the breath as an anchor into present moment awareness. The breath is always right here, right now. It's a beautiful doorway into this moment. I always like to begin a meditation by simply establishing a pattern of returning to the breath, practicing a little focus, being gentle as my mind drifts away from the present moment, just gently returning to this moment. Returning to the breath. After some time of establishing some focus, noticing what else is arising and passing, noticing sensations, perceptions like sounds, thoughts and images as they arise and as they pass, emotions. Just witnessing the arising and the passing of experience. We're going to transition into a guided metta practice. Continuing to notice your breath. Being present. Bring your attention into your heart space. Sometimes it helps to put a hand on the heart or two hands. Just bring attention into this space where our physical heart is. And we'll use some visualization to evoke that tender feeling, that feeling within of warmth and kindness in our hearts. Could be a memory of someone who, just a stranger who smiled at you when you were having a really hard day, and how that made you feel. Whereas Tasha had shared, imagining what it would be like to be a tree who's thirsty in this arid desert and hasn't rained in a long time. And what would it be like to have it rain and have that drink of water that soothes and releases all suffering? could be that tender feeling you have when you pet a cat or a dog or a pet, whatever it is. It could even be a place. Bringing into heart and mind a memory of that tenderness, that warmth that you felt. And letting yourself feel that. And from here, we generate feelings of kindness and well-being, freedom from suffering, beginning with ourselves and extending to others. I'll use the phrases that I commonly use, but I'll also be silent during some of this for you to use whatever phrases work for you in this practice. And so we begin wishing ourselves well, starting with ourselves, offering kindness. May I be free from suffering. May I touch joy and peace. May I be warm and tender. May I have ease and well-being. May I be free. Really letting yourself feel that wish for well-being and freedom from suffering. In a traditional practice, we expand that wish for well-being toward a benefactor, somebody who has been generous, offered generosity in their lives toward us. And wishing this benefactor, this generous person, freedom from suffering, well-being. So whatever phrases work for you, wishing your benefactor, another generous person, well. Next, we bring into our hearts and minds a neutral person, somebody who we don't feel necessarily good or bad about, but someone who just has this sort of just neutral feeling toward. It could be an acquaintance or somebody who you see on a semi-regular basis that passes you regularly on a walk, wishing this neutral person, may they have freedom from suffering. May they touch peace and joy. May they be warm and tender. May they have ease of well-being. May you be free. Expanding our hearts yet further. Choosing someone in the text, it's called an enemy. This doesn't have to be somebody who's like an arch nemesis. This is somebody who you might have felt a little hurt by, who things didn't feel so good with. And Thich Nhat Hanh, who recently passed, I remember him saying, like, our enemies are need metta the most. These people who may have hurt you, they're needing that. So wishing them freedom from suffering and well-being. You know, extending our hearts to more and more. Bring into our heart and mind those who are near and dear to you, your friends and family, people who you feel close to. Wish them well. Taking a moment to look at the names, remembering the faces of those who are here, right here in the room. We're meditating together, the Sangha, and wishing each other freedom from suffering. May we all have freedom from suffering. May we touch joy and peace. May we be warm and tender. May we have ease and well-being. May all of us be free. Letting our hearts go beyond to acquaintances and people who have affected our lives, either directly or indirectly. We may know, we may not know. And wishing all those who we are connected to freedom from suffering. expanding our hearts even more beyond to all those who are living in our communities, state, country, these lands, the continent. Wishing them well. And wishing all beings, may all beings be free from suffering. May we all touch joy and peace. May all beings be warm and tender. May we all have ease and well-being. May all beings be free.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.